Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Today I want to finish up our series on Galatians, and I've enjoyed the book of Galatians. And we've been in it for the last 7 weeks or so now. But today we're going to finish it up and look at it. But the book of Galatians was an epistle, or is an epistle. An epistle is a letter. The apostle Paul wrote it, and the apostle Paul was a church planter. He would go and start a new work and get it functional, put leadership in place, and then he'd jump over to the next place and start a church, and he started a church in Philippi. So that's why he wrote an epistle letter to the book in the church in Philippi, Philippians. He wrote a letter to the church in Galatia, Galatians. He wrote a letter to the church in Rome, Romans, and Corinthians, Corinth. And so much of the New Testament are epistles. There's letters written to address or encourage the local church. Sometimes they were written for churches. Sometimes they're written for individuals. That's why we have Timothy and Titus. They were written to people. And we want to look, we've been looking at Galatians. And the reason why Paul wrote the book of Galatians was because Jesus had lived on this earth. He lived 33 years. He died, was buried, rose again, gave the Great Commission mandate to disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And all of a sudden, as the church began to grow, it grew outside the circle of God's people, the Israelites. And it went into other areas to impact what the Bible would call Gentiles, those who didn't grow up as Israelites, God's chosen race from the Old Testament, from Abraham on, where God picked the people and worked through his people and impacted the world through the Ten Commandments and his people and the plagues and all those things in the Old Testament. But God in the New Testament said, I didn't come just for the chosen Israelites. I came for all people. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So Galatia was a Gentile believers. They were Gentiles, not God's people, who learned that they could have a relationship with Jesus through what? Grace. Jesus died on the cross, and he died for them, and they had an expiration date in the milk carton of their lives, but God had forgiven them, and they had a personal relationship. And then Paul established this church. He moves on, and what happened was some Jewish Christians came by and said, hey, guys, it's not that easy. It's not just grace. There's something called a covenant relationship with Jesus that happens as God's people through circumcision and the law and all these other things. And so they burdened these new Christians down with all these obligations and duties, and the Bible calls it the law. And Paul writes to the Galatians, and we've talked about this the last several weeks. If you haven't listened or weren't here, go back and listen to our podcast. But Paul begins to address this issue. In chapter 1, he says, who brought to you a different gospel? And this different gospel is no gospel at all. And that word gospel, it's the Greek word that means the good news. Who brought a different set? It's not good news. It's different news. And it's really no, it's not good news. It's bad news. Paul was saying there's something called grace. How many of you guys are thankful for grace in here today? There's something Jesus saved us by. It's grace through faith, not by works or law or all the stuff we do to try to get right with God. It's because of grace in Jesus Christ. So the book of Galatians was written to people who were trying to understand, what does the relationship with Jesus look like? Is it based out of the law or grace, duty or delight? And we've kind of taken this thought that there's two brands of Christianity. One is law-based and works-based and duty-based and obligation-based. And I read my Bible because I have to. I go to church because I have to. And then there's the other side that says, man, I go to church because I want to worship with a bunch of other men and women because I need the God who saved me. I need other people because I got to go out and I need to get filled up so I can go out and spill out. And out of this love relationship with Jesus. And so Paul writes Galatians. Today, this is maybe, for me, the funnest chunk of this book to preach, chapter 6, because he's talking about What does freedom or grace look like in our lives? Now that we understand it's not by works, what does it look like? How does it shine forth? And Paul, he's talking about freedom. And isn't it kind of, it's kind of fun? We talked about adoption on Father's Day. Today we can talk about freedom as we celebrate Independence Day. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. You can have your tree Bible, or there'll be the screen Bible up there too. And let's look at what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, this is Paul, may I never boast. Say boast. May I never get conceited or arrogant or glory is another translation. May I never get to a place where I boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, Paul writes this, and yeah, let's understand who Paul is for a second. Paul, if there was a man who had the earthly right to boast and brag about pedigree and spiritual resume, it was Paul. Okay, if Paul lived in the day of Sunday school pins, he had all of them. If there was attendance records given out and patches for his Royal Ranger or Missionette's gown or whatever, he had all of them. Okay, he was it. He says it this way himself. He says, if someone else thinks they should have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, this is Philippians chapter 3, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. This guy was like squeaky clean spiritually. He was like the guy that followed the law, and he was faultless. He was almost perfect when it came to the law's aspect. But listen to what he says. He doesn't glory about that. He glories in what? The cross of Jesus Christ. He goes, why? Because the cross is what saves me, not all that stuff I did. I was crucified to the world and the world to me. That stuff doesn't matter anymore. You guys have come into the church and they said it's about this and this. That stuff doesn't matter anymore because the cross of Jesus changes everything. You know, a few years ago, Apple thought they were really smart. And I'm an Apple. I like the ecosystem of the Apple products, okay? But they came out a few years ago and said, with an iPhone, it says, this changes everything. I'm thinking, they're stupid. Are they seriously think a phone changes everything? Now, I have teenage kids who think a phone can change everything. But I want to know, the cross of Jesus Christ is what changes everything. I was studying this week, and you know, and Paul goes on and says, but whatever were gains to me, in other words, all these things I accomplished, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage or rubbish, or in some versions, cow poop, that I may gain Christ and the power of his resurrection. In other words, what Paul was saying, if I could summarize this verse, he was saying, it's not about what I do or what I did. It's about what Jesus has done. Friends, look at me. It's not what you do or what you've done. It's what he has done. And Paul is summarizing the book of Galatians. He says, guys, when it all comes down to it, it's not all the stuff you've done. And my pedigree is probably more faultless than your pedigree. But I'm telling you right now, I consider that nothing compared to the cross. And I've crucified myself to the world and the world to me because it's about the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'll boast in. See, Paul's talking about the freedom, because if you understand what the cross does for your life, he was perfect when it came to law, but he found out there was something called freedom that the law could never bring. Look at me. Perfection doesn't mean life is easy. The perfection Jesus Christ brings to you is free, and that brings complete freedom. And so Paul says it in Galatians chapter 5. We'll back up here in a second as we move forward. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Say free. Called to be free. In other words, they're no longer slaves, they're sons. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Say rather. In fact, I have a statement here. See, the word free means you experience something called grace, and grace set you free from the law of sin and death. How many want to know grace is really good? And grace is free. How many of you guys are thankful for that? And this week I was studying, and the part that God spoke to me, he says, Mark, grace is not so I can sin more. I'm not called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. In other words, the grace God has given us is not so we can sin more, knowing God can forgive us. Rather, look at what Paul says, rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. And guys, what they try to do, they tried to do the whole law. He says, guys, you can summarize it in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, grace is freedom, and freedom equals grace. Grace is not so we can sin more. Grace, write this down, it's not on your notes. Grace is so you can serve more. Friends, the reason, and Paul is trying to say, guys, and he doesn't talk anything about serving until the chapter 6. You know why? Because they had this weird thought that they had to do all these things to be right with God. And he goes, no, guys, it's free. It's not free so you sin more. It's free so you can serve more. In other words, there's a motivation behind the law in the first place. You see, up to this point, Paul's been hasn't talked about serving because he's been dealing with their hearts. But now that their hearts have been transformed, he said, okay, I can talk about stuff now. And he goes, the reason why you're free is because God has areas for you to serve in. See, for the Galatians, the law wasn't inherently bad. The law just lacked the power to motivate people to do it. How many guys, if you knew you had to read your Bible, would enjoy reading your Bible? Like, oh, great, I got to read my Bible today. You know, I'm married to my wife. Oh, great, I got to spend an hour with my wife today. Oh, great. Yeah. That's not fun. And so Paul is talking about to them about how in this freedom, how can you find the manifest, what's it look like? What's this freedom look like? And he goes to this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. He changes it. He said, guys, you've thought obeying the law of Christ was circumcision and all these things. Guys, obeying the law of Christ is not circumcision. It's not those things. It's sharing the burdens of the brothers and sisters and the people around you. Sharing, and when you do that, you are obeying the law of Christ. See, as we serve each other, we're obeying this new law, this new command. In fact, John the Apostle says it this way in John chapter 13. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Why do we do it? Because I've loved you, God says, now you love one another. The motivation is not because you have to. The motivation is because you want to. How many guys, I grew up on a dairy farm. And I remember, you know, we had to get the cows. And that was before we had four-wheelers. That was like you had to walk down there and you had to run down to get the cows. And sometimes they're in the far field. And my dad had like 450 acres. And so it's like, you know, and so we come home. And, of course, the time to get the cows, depending on where they were, was when the Munsters were on, Flintstones were on, you know, all those Leave It to Beaver was on, the good shows, you know, that stuff before, never mind. And quite frankly, I kind of liked watching the Munsters and some of those shows. And it was funner, believe it or not, to do that than get the cows. And so I'd go to my dad and say, Dad, you know, do I have to get the cows today? And my dad would go, Mark, it's an incredible day. You don't have to get the cows today. And I'd be like, I don't. He'd go, you don't have to. You get to. It's like, oh, Dad. And then we got a four-wheeler, and it was a fight for a while on who got to go get the cows. But then even the four-wheeler wore off because it meant we couldn't watch the cartoons or Flintstones or Yabba Dabba Doo, you know. But what's the motivation was because I had to. But when it comes to Christ, if you've been set free, you set free what? To serve. I'm not set free by grace to sin more. I'm set free by grace to serve more. In other words, there's this new command that's been written on my heart that because he loved me first, now I get to go out and love one another as he loved me. Now, that's my response. That's the protocol in essence. That's what God's asked us to do. Now, how many of you guys have ever met people that are passionate about stuff? You ever met people with passion? My mom and dad are passionate people. My dad, incredible. My mom and dad are both incredible. My mom was so passionate about Mary Kay for a while, she actually became like the number one Mary Kay salesman in Oregon and had the pink Cadillac. Then now she had to maintain the sales to keep. And so that was not law or grace. That was law. I mean, she had to keep feeding the machine. But my mom's passionate. And whatever they do, they just become passionate. My dad's 72 now, and he cut his finger off a year ago. He was chopping wood. He slipped. His mobility's not what it used to be. And he was using a wood splitter that once the hydraulic thing was going forward, you couldn't go backwards. And he slipped. And his hand, the only thing he could grab is like the wedge on the machine. And so it just pinched his finger off. Good news, it kept it in the glove, and so he took the whole thing and never. But my dad has old cars, and you know, he was waxing up his 23 Buick to drive down the parade, and my dad was saying, Mark, he says, my dad loves chickens. He's got 4,000 chickens. It's a hobby. Now, I don't think 4,000 chickens is ever a hobby. And he's got these eggs, and he sells them all over, you know, and he says, Mark, my eggs are the best eggs. And they're good eggs. I mean, they're organic. The chickens eat the grass and all that stuff. And so they're good eggs. But my dad, I mean, they're incredible eggs for my dad. But my dad's passion, I mean, so people buy. Have you ever met people that buy stuff because you're passionate about it? Yet, how many of you guys have something in your closet right now you shouldn't have, but someone was selling La La Rue or whatever it is? You ever met those people that, I mean, it's like you went on keto because they were on keto, or you're on ketones because they had ketones. You ever met those people? You do things, sign up, and you go, why did I do that? Sounded so good when I was with them. Why? Because there's passion. But let me tell you something. I think what Paul's getting to here is this. If the almighty, unforgettable God can forget your sins and change your life forever, then is your life so transformed you take what God has given you and you're so excited, you're more excited about that than essential oils or makeup or ketones or whatever, because you want the world to know that there's something called grace, not so they can sin more, but they can serve more. Is it good news? Let's make sure it's not the best news that's never been told. So today, I want to talk about, if I could, for the next few moments, I want to talk about three ways we can make a difference with our freedom. Paul says it this way in Galatians 6, therefore, because God has set you free, and you're called to serve each other, therefore, we have this opportunity. Let us do good to all, say all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So today, three ways we can make a difference with our freedom. We have an opportunity. Look at me, guys. You have an opportunity. We all do. The first opportunity we have is, number one, identify my sphere of influence. Identify the people God has placed around you in your life that you can influence. How many of you guys believe you're called to influence people? I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He wrote to the church in Corinth, but we will not boast, again, boast and talk beyond our limits, but we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us. Say assigned. Look at me. God has assigned an area of influence, a sphere of influence to every one of us. There's a sphere. I used to say it this way, or I've said it before, that proximity equals responsibility. If you're, if you're near people, you're responsible to be a beacon of light for Jesus around those people. Jesus says it this way: hey, if we're the salt of the earth, what good is salt if it doesn't, if it's lost its what? Influence around the people it lives around. We're people of influence. In our grow track, which is kind of our pathway for people to get involved in serving here or become members here, and encourage you to jump in. It starts the first Sunday of every month. We start a brand new grow track, and you can jump in. And if you're gone for a week or two, you still come back and come back the following month to take that week. But in our grow track, we talk about our sphere or our orbit. And we talk about this three things. We talk about my people is my sphere, my place is my sphere, and my passion is my sphere. My people, my place, and my passion. We redefine it as our orbit. Our bed, our buck, and our burden. Why? Because it's easier to remember. My bed, my buck, and my burden. In other words, my people. The people I live with, the people in my neighborhood. I live right over here. And I've got people across the street. I've got my neighbors, and I've been working on my neighbors for a while. I give them gifts. I give them Christmas cards. I've been working on them. I've been feeding the single mom across the street. We've been giving her moose all year long because she's got three boys and she's living on a single income. There's been some medical challenges with one of her boys, and she's not come to church once yet. But I don't want to be her sphere of influence so she comes to church. I want to be a sphere of influence so she comes to know Jesus. But I'm not so convinced. I'm not so concerned. She needs conversion. She needs care before she's ever converted. What's your bed? The people around you. That's your sphere of influence. That God's put you there. And then there's your buck. There's your place. Where do you work? Where do you hang out? Where do you go to school? Who are the people around you you can impact right where you live? And right where I met someone today, first gathering. She came and she came because she sells furniture and her boss has been inviting her for a while. And she came today. And she goes, "How's that couch you bought a couple months ago?" I said, "It's incredible." She was telling everyone, "Yeah, it's a cuddle couch. It's big enough for he and his wife to cuddle." I said, "Thanks, ma'am." And it is a, never mind. All right. But my people, my place, and then your burden. How many of you believe that God puts a burden inside of people for things? And the people in your life, friends, are not random. How many know that? The people in your life are not random. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says, "From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live." If you're in the military, let me tell you something. Uncle Sam didn't move you up here. God did. You might say, "Well, no, I kind of picked my..." No, God picked your place. God transitioned you up here. If you're here and going to the university and you're to have the summer off, or you're here and you're going, "I just don't know." Listen, God, he determined the time set for you to live and the exact places. God chose your time and your place. If God chose your time and your place, the people around you are not random. They are your opportunity. They're the people around you that God has called to influence for Jesus, because the grace of God is not so you can sin more and have great retirement benefits outside of this world. How many understand? When you die as a believer, you go to heaven. And we don't just have a relationship with Jesus so we go to heaven. We have a relationship with Jesus so we can maximize our influence on earth till we get to heaven. And see, sometimes we see people as problems, but friends, they're opportunities. The second, and I don't have time to go, but the second way we can make difference with our freedom is, number two, meet people in their place of need. Meet people in their place of need. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Share each other's burdens." Get shoulder to shoulder with people. Friends, slow down and share some burdens. Slow down and get to know some people around you. You might say, well, everyone's so busy. Everyone's busy, but slow down and look for the opportunities where you can share in the burdens of someone else. In other words, find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and be there. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need. Look around at the needs and say, how can we influence those? We have Fairbanks Outreach coming up, and Fairbanks Outreach and Mega Sports Camp go together, and we have about 50 to 60 teenagers that will be here, and they're gonna be a part of outreaches in the afternoons. They kind of the core nucleus for the Mega Sports Camp, and there's some adults who take full time off of work. Jason Witt, who's a banker in town, will be taking. He's gonna be working with the hockey kids and investing in them because he loves coaching and pouring into them, and that's his burden. But one of the things, one of our outreaches this year is there's some foster care systems in town, and we called and said, how can we serve? And they said, we're tired of when kids get taken from one home to another, that we have to give them a black plastic bag for them to throw their belongings in. And so you know what we're going to put together? We're going to put together duffel bags with toothpaste and with the things they need that they don't have to go through their black plastic bag to find when they get to their new place. And we call the foster care, and our kids will be putting those together. Why? Let's shoulder the burden. There are kids that will get taken from a home and won't have the necessities they need to brush their teeth and comb their hair, do some of those things. So what are the needs you're around every day? They could be physical, they could be emotional, they could be spiritual. Jesus in Matthew shares a story, and I don't have time to read the whole thing, but he basically said, hey, the reason you don't inherit the kingdom of God is because when you saw me hungry, you fed me, and when you saw me thirsty, and when I was in prison, you visited me, and they say, well, wait a second here, I never visited you. He says, no, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. Look at me, friends. True North Church is not great because we have the best programs and the best things in the world. We're great because people like you understand that the grace of God is to serve people around here. I had coffee with someone yesterday, and he's been coming for about a month and a half, and I said, sir, how'd you hear about it? He says, Mark, how did I not hear about it? So what do you mean? He says, well, I dropped someone off one day to church, and I was interviewing him for a job, and they said, well, you got to go to True North. I've been there. It's incredible. Come. He said, I know. And so he said, then I was someone else that said, hey, how are you doing? Good. You should come to my church. What church? True North. He said, I don't know. Seven or eight people told me to come, and I finally came, and I realized I've invited seven people since I came. But it's because there's people. How do I end every sermon almost every single week? I say, if you think this sermon series would help your friend, would you bring him? What I'm trying to do is get you to look and go, how do I meet the needs of the people around me? And thirdly, as we close, is the third way we can make a difference with our freedom is point them to Jesus and his church. Here's my fear. You step in to bear someone's burden, and all of a sudden they become codependent on you and not the Jesus you want them to get connected to. When you shoulder someone, if you're not careful, you'll start sharing burdens and you'll start taking the burdens on yourself. We don't want to make people dependent upon ourselves, but upon Jesus. You can share a burden, but Jesus takes a burden. And Matthew says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, in Jesus, we point people to Jesus. And then we point them to the local church. I love what it says in Psalms, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like cedars of Lebanon, for they will be transplanted to the Lord's own house and they'll flourish in the courts of our God. Look at me, friends. If some of you come once a month or once every once in a while, I want to encourage you for your sake, and if you have kids, for your kids' sake, you get plugged in and planted because then you'll flourish. You will flourish. And friends, if you start shouldering people's burdens and you come to a point where if their burden gets too heavy, it's because you're trying to carry it yourself. Teach them to give it to Jesus and then teach them to spread the weight with the local church. That's why we love life groups and care groups around here. Why? Because I think we can best serve our city by connecting to incredible people like you and your sphere of influence, we can begin to meet their needs and we can connect them to Jesus. Christianity is not about who we convert, but who we love, who we care for, this place called family. Now, maybe you're here today and someone did invite you because you're in their sphere. And they've been talking to you for a while about coming. I'd be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity before you left today to meet the Jesus that we're so passionate about in this place. I could boast about a lot of things, but I'll tell you right now, I will boast in the cross of Jesus Christ because that's changed my life. Now, here's what I know. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of every one of your lives. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die and after to face judgment. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us in here. You might feel invincible right now. You might have just went to the gym today and got some gains this morning. I don't know. You might feel like life is incredible. But I'll tell you right now, it doesn't matter how invincible you feel. There's an expiration date on your life. And the question is, if that expiration date comes up today, do you know you're right with Jesus? Because the Bible says it's appointed once for man to die and after that to face judgment. There's a heaven and there's a place that smells worse than the outside of Fairbanks right now. Because there's a fire that never goes out. My question is, do you know the Jesus that we talked about today? He died on the cross for you. There's three. We always say it's as easy as ABC to know Jesus. A, admit you've sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe Jesus died and rose again for you. And C, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. If you're here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, I want to pray with you. Bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room this morning. You're here. You've never made a commitment to Jesus. I want to pray with you this morning. Just pray this prayer silently as I pray out loud. This is not a prayer to be a member of this church. It's a prayer to have a relationship with Jesus because you realize if you die outside of a hope in Him, there's no hope. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of your life, but you know for sure that you have a relationship with Him. You can. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned, but I believe you died to forgive me of my sins. So I confess to you today that I'm a sinner in need of the grace that only you can give me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please be my Savior and my life leader today. Forgive me for my sins and help me serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.